The scripture reading this morning is John 8, 31 to 38. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me because there is no place in you for my word. I declare what I have seen in the Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father."
Please pray with me. God of wisdom, speak again your liberating word to us today. By the power of your Holy Spirit poured into our hearts, make us ready and willing to respond to your call to us today. Amen. So, theologically, I have a difficult time celebrating secular and national holidays during worship. We're here to worship God. And don't get me wrong, I love holidays. It's hard to turn down a good party. Hence my voice. I don't have any issues celebrating outside of worship or using space within the church building to celebrate anything, really. But I really do try to make an effort to make this time and this space sacred. A few weeks ago, there were more than a few complaints that I did not do enough to celebrate Memorial Day in worship. So I thought today I might remedy that by making a more concerted effort to acknowledge our country's newest federal holiday. Juneteenth is tomorrow. So there won't be any mail. Carol, the banks will be closed.
Thank you. Runs off the whole week.
I know. There are some big celebrations scheduled throughout the city, so watch out for traffic. Just a little background on Juneteenth. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed by President Lincoln on January 1st of 1963. January 1st of 1863. I did this. I kept doing it. 1863. And this effectively liberated all slaves in the states that seceded from the Union. Make no mistake, this was not a statement about the immorality of chattel slavery. It was a military tactic. Nevertheless, it was the dawn of a new day for African Americans in this country. Unfortunately, plantation owners in Texas kept this information to themselves, and approximately 250,000 people were kept in bondage and terror for almost 2.5 more years, until on June 19th of 1865, when the Union Major General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, and announced the end of both the Civil War and slavery with General Order Number 3, which reads in part, "The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves. The connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between an employer and a hired laborer. It goes on, there's more, but that's the gist of it. Can you imagine the excitement that those people felt in that moment? The celebration should, you know, if you're going to use Queen's English, it should be called June 19th, like July 4th. But the slaves were so tongue-tied with excitement in that moment when those literal and figurative chains of bondage fell from their bodies and their souls. And it came out instead Juneteenth. The following year, in June of 1866, the former slaves gathered to celebrate their liberation with cookouts and games and music and fellowship. And the African American community has continued the tradition ever since. In our scripture passage from John today, there's also a huge party going on. Jesus and those who had believed in him were in Jerusalem for the Festival of the Tabernacles. It's an 8-day celebration, sort of marking the end of the harvest, but more importantly, it's a commemoration of God's guidance in the wilderness following their release from slavery in Egypt. And during this festival, which is still celebrated today in contemporary times by Jewish people, during this festival, the people build small, like tents or booths or tabernacles to symbolize God's sheltering presence. Earlier in John's Gospel, before this passage, Jesus depicts himself as the actual fulfillment of Israel's faith and hope by declaring that he is the supreme source of living water and the light of the world that shines brighter than any candle. And once we get to this passage, Jesus says that he is the ultimate source of truth. And the ultimate source of truth leads to ultimate freedom. It's no coincidence that the concept at the heart of the Festival of Tabernacles is freedom, emancipation, liberation. Immediately, some people in the crowd claim that they're already free. They don't need this truth, this freedom. They're descendants of Abraham. They've never even been slaves. Seriously? Did they forget the whole point of this festival that they traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate? Their history is filled with slavery in Egypt, in Babylon. Like, even at the time that this took place, they were being held captive by Rome. Jesus had just declared that the truth emancipates people. And immediately the people offer up a false assessment of their history. We should all actually be wary of this sort of danger. I understand, I really understand, wanting to sweep the brutality of chattel slavery in this country under the rug and locking it up as something that happened by and to other people a long time ago. But denying it, forgetting it, only leads to more sinister conditions and treatment of God's people. You'd think that what Jesus was offering, liberation from sin, slavery, the law, injustice, death, you'd think that that would have been welcome news. Surprisingly, they hear Jesus talk about a kind of liberation that goes far beyond what they were thinking of as in terms of freedom. They wanted freedom from Rome, and they don't want to hear what Jesus is selling, because that sounds hard. And sin is easy. Sin becomes habitual. So habitual that we don't even realize that we're committing sin. Now, sin isn't just about the Ten Commandments. Sin is anything that turns our attention away from God or God's creation. It's being more obedient to the world than to God's heavenly order. The pain and harm that we cause one another through our words and our actions is sinful. The social systems that create and perpetuate poverty and war and discrimination, those are sinful. And we are constantly enslaved by it, and we don't even know it. Alternatively, the truth, the path of Jesus, is hard. Peaceful, loving, joyful relationships take a lot of time and a lot of work. It takes a lot of energy to think about people outside of ourselves and our circles and maintain a connection with God. Disrupting the status quo of sin feels threatening. And even though living as a slave to sin is miserable for everyone, we're still held captive by it. The listeners claim that they are descendants of Abraham, and Jesus affirms them, but he contrasts their claim of being descendants of Abraham with their behavior. They've confused being children of Abraham and being children of God, thinking that those two things are one and the same. However, our identity as liberated or slave is determined more through our actions rather than our lineage. We can claim all we want. I'm sure you've experienced this. I certainly have. People laying claim to God's favor because, you know, they go to church sometimes. And they use their membership in church as an excuse to treat other people poorly or to flatly ignore their needs. We are all held captive by sin. Not one of us is exempt from that. And when we deny our captivity to sin, we deny the power of sin, and we fail to acknowledge God. And that leads to serving the forces in opposition to God. Our only chance of liberation comes through hearing and receiving and keeping the word of God. Even though we are a long way from chattel slavery and Jim Crow laws, justice is still being denied to many African Americans today. Men and women are arrested or die for driving while black. Less than 1% of corporate heads are African American. And even though technically redlining when trying to secure a loan for a home or a business is illegal, it still happens. There are discriminatory hiring practices and wage offers where black men and women make about 24% less than their white counterparts. No one here is directly responsible for any of those things. None of us here have done this purposely, or it's not our fault. We didn't cause them, but we'd still rather not think about them. Although there are still some people out there today that would flat out deny that any of these things happen, we're still called to love our neighbors. As a diverse nation, a diverse city, we really need to take seriously other people's experiences in order to live into the gospel of loving others. Ultimately, as Christians, Juneteenth can help us remember that we worship a relentlessly liberating God. A God who is continuously sending Jesus to us, sending the truth to us. If we listen, we can be liberated. We worship a God who is relentlessly liberating and a God who invites us to participate in God's liberating work. Thanks be to God. Amen.